episode 4, or podcast number 4, however you wish to view it. Thank you for coming back, and today we're going to be going into the interview process. I figure I'd get out the basics at the beginning. We talked before about, you know, the customer not always being right, and we talked about the expectations that employers have. Now, let's talk about a little bit of the interview process that comes in when you're dealing with food and beverage in the restaurant life. Well, first, there's the application process. It's changed over the years. I can tell you that originally it was if you knew somebody and they could connect you to employment, then you'd get an interview. Now it's become Craigslist, Harry, that's food and beverage specific, you know, place to apply. There's a bunch of other sites that you can go to where you can get applications. And I did a lot of my applications through Craigslist and Harry.com, and it's Harri.com, not as in your Harry or Harry the name. But you do these applications through there and you get interviews in that way. Now, the reason I want to talk about the interview process is because I haven't always enjoyed it. I don't think a lot of people do. It's more or less because of the way the questions are presented, especially when you consider the position that you're asking people to come aboard to. Like I said with the expectations, it's like you're putting on an unnecessary feeling to a situation where you're just asking somebody to come in. Unless you're interviewing somebody for a manager position or a supervisor position or general manager or any of those, the questions in the way they are kind of structure weirdly. I reached out online to a lot of my friends and to people I know who have worked food and beverage for a long time, because I haven't interviewed for a food and beverage position in a couple years, so I'm not as up to date on the whole interview process and to see if things have changed. What I found is not a lot has changed. A lot of the questions are still the same. A lot of them are still, let me see. What I found was career goals. Do you plan to stay hourly or do you want to move up? If I answer that, we'll get to the answers. What things do you like to do? Tell us the most effective way to manage you. You want me to tell you how to manage me? Give me a time when you had to deal with an unsatisfied guest. What was the problem? How did you handle it? And what was the end result? And then the opposite of one of the ones I already said. What things do you not like to do? Oh my goodness. And these are questions that are asked a lot of just regular employees who are coming in as a cashier, as a, you know, as a line guy, as a very job specific thing, where, like, let's take one of the bigger questions of where do you see yourself in 5 years? And in food and beverage, when you're first starting out, it's a very weird question to try to answer, because, to be honest, most people when they're younger don't really see themselves much of anywhere other than working and enjoying themselves for the first couple of years of their life. So how do we go into where do I see myself in 5 years? There are many. I see myself at home. Wait, that question, that answer doesn't work. And that's the problem. The answer is never wanted in full truth, which I guess is a common occurrence in any interview when you're interviewing for almost any position. The employer doesn't want you to tell the truth completely, because if they did want you to tell the truth, the questions wouldn't be so generic and so ill-constructed. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? I'd never learned how to answer that appropriately in all the years and all the jobs that I had. I probably answered that question so wrong so many times. And the times where I didn't get asked that question, the interview went great. Like, is that? Yeah. But, you know, questions like, how did you deal with an unsatisfied guest, and what was the problem? How did you handle it, and what was the end result? Okay, let's be very clear. If you're applying for a cashier position, the only way you deal with unsatisfied guests is to get your manager, because that's the way you're trained to deal with unsatisfied guests. That's the whole point. You are not in the position to handle the guests. You're not, it's not that you're not in the position. You're explicitly told, do not handle the guests in that way. If something goes out of hand, please come to us as management. The reason for that is because if something were to go wrong, or if you need to offer something in exchange, the manager is usually the one who offers the exchange without it harming the restaurant and takes control of the situation. When you're not in that position, you're not asked to make those kind of decisions. The only thing that you would do as a cashier is say, oh, here, would you like to exchange this? Can I get you this instead of this? It's like those simple exchanges where you're substituting something that wasn't there for something that is there. Those kind of things are the general handling that a cashier comes across. Now, how would you handle that? Basically, you're just going to say that, oh, I gave them what they wanted, I moved on. Like, I had a friend online who answered a question, that question, and went like, "What? I gave the customer what they wanted so that they wouldn't complain and bitch." There's no other way to put that. It's like, that's the reason you did it. You did it specifically so that there wouldn't be complaints laid on after, or go up, or escalate, or anything like that. Which is generally why and how you deal with customers anyway. This is where the whole philosophy of the customer always being right comes in, because of this set belief that, oh, you didn't have this, you need to exchange this, boom, give me this. It's a give me, give me. It's a give me, give me. So, you know, that's where that comes in. And then a lot of the other questions that appear, that just pop up in food and beverage, it's like, okay, how do these pertain to the job description that you want me to complete? Are you trying to find out if I want to be more than what you're hiring me for? And if I don't, and I just want to be this, am I not good at it? It's a weird conundrum. It's a weird situation, because it gets confusing as to what you truly want from the person that you're hiring. And it just becomes strange to ask, I don't know, questions of more when most people are not going to say that they want less. So if you give them the question of, do you want to stay hourly or do you want to move up, most people are going to say they want to move up. There's a majority of people. It's a very small minority that will say, no, I want to stay here and just make this much money. But a majority of people want to move up to make more money, because the more they move up, the more money they can make. So even if they answer it that way, how do you determine whether it's good enough for them to, whether they're good enough to be used in that? It's just, I wish the questions were a little bit more straightforward. If the questions were more in the direction of the position you're being hired for, then they would hold more understanding to why they're being asked. But so many of the questions in food and beverage are so generic and crap that you're not hiring somebody on based on the question that they answered. You're hiring them based on whether how they look or what you think of them, or it rarely becomes of, are they good at answering these questions? Because the questions are not really that important. Yeah. I don't know. In food and beverage, it gets weird in the hiring process. Because I think I was going into this a little bit in the last podcast. Restaurants usually have a set style that they want. They're hiring. If you see a very eclectic restaurant with a lot of different demographic and a lot of different customers, they're doing that on purpose. They're doing that because they want to present a certain style to their restaurant to get it across in that way. And they're going to hire people who fit that style. And same goes for restaurants that want to just be more down the line and want to look a certain way. Everything's about the look. Everything's about the presentation of how the look is. So you will see a lot more people hired because they fit a look that the owner or general manager or district manager is looking for with regards to how they want to present the restaurant versus hiring somebody who has the capability of doing well for the concept. It's very rare that people, it's almost like a lot of stories that I hear when it comes to the fashion industry. If you look a certain way, then you'll get hired more than if you look another way. But the interesting part is that sometimes you'll see a restaurant that goes for the completely opposite look of what all other restaurants are going for. And the reason is because they're trying to hit a different demographic when it comes to that. And it becomes this thing where you're rarely being hired for the contributions and the ability that you may have, and you're more being hired for the appearance and the aesthetics of what the restaurant is presenting to its customers. And you'll find that a lot. And fine dining, you'll find that a lot more than anybody else. But it vexes me. Because then you're foregoing anybody who actually has an ability if they don't fit the look that you want. Like, if they're not what you want your restaurant to look like, then, bye, we don't want you. But they might be better than the other person because of the fact that they have more understanding of what the concept is and how to be presented, but they don't fit your look, so you don't want to hire them. That's, my God. That becomes the interview process. Now, another part of the interview process that I dealt with quite a bit, especially when I was applying for management positions, was your answer to questions. And the general rule of thumb is that what you answer can harm your chances. And that's very true. But not in the way you're thinking about it. I'm not saying that what you answer in the sense of the question presented and how you phrase your answer or how you... No, I'm more or less... What you literally say can harm your chances even when you don't expect them to be able to harm your chances. And dirty little secret as they won't tell you. If you're a dad in food and beverage and you're applying for a management position, don't say it. Because it's very rare that you'll get it. It's an odd situation that I ran into quite a bit. You could physically see the changes in someone, in the person interviewing you, demeanor, when you presented yourself as a parent as well. And I didn't understand. Like, I didn't get why there was such a change to the way that the person who was interviewing me viewed me. Because I always thought that if you're a good parent, that should add to your level of ability to be part of this team, especially manage a team. Especially when you're coming from a management position. Like, I had years of experience and I had interviews that once I said I was a father, it was like, boom, a switch. Like, they changed, they altered, they moved, they no longer viewed you the same way. And I was like, what the hell just happened? And it's weird, because if you're applying for a cashier position, they won't even think about it twice. They'll be like, oh, okay, fine, yeah. Because of the hours and the expectation. This goes back to expectation and how expectations can cripple. It's like your expectation as a manager, the belief is that when you're a manager, you're there available 1,000%. when I used to manage restaurants, it was you woke up when the restaurant opened and you went to sleep when the restaurant closed. Even if you weren't working, in your mind, you dealt with everything from the opening bell of the restaurant to the closing of the restaurant. I worked locations where the first employee was in at 6 a.m. and the last employee was out at about midnight. And I was completely awake and involved from 6 a.m. to 12 to midnight. That leaves 6 hours of sleep. And it's just, and I understood that. And I was still a father, and I was still there and present and with my son and always, you know, involved. So it was like, you run a restaurant, your phone's here, you're looking at that, and you're at the same time running around with your kid. But once I left that position and was applying to other positions, the moment I presented that I was a dad, it was like, boom, nope, something switched, alternation, a move in the opposite direction. It's like, oh, you're a good father? Oh, I don't know if we can. That's what it felt like. For so long, it felt like, oh, you're a father? Oh, and you're present? Oh, so you're involved. So you're with your child often. Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's amazing. I'm so happy for you. Is he big? How old is he? And you could see, like, all right, I love poker. And in poker, one of the biggest things they tell you is don't play the cards, play the man. The reason they say that is because in Texas Hold'em, the poker that I enjoy the most, the cards you have are important, but the people you're playing against are 10 times more important because you can alter their perception of what you have based on the different things you do, and you can read what they have based on the little things they do. So because of that, I've taken a lot of things that apply to playing poker to analyzing and reading and understanding people. So when little changes happen in the way interviews progress, I'm able to see where it was these changes occurred simply by, you know, shifts in the way that they present the next question, shifts in the way that they, you know, respond to your answer, or even their own body language and the adjustments that they make after you give an answer. So in that, I always knew that when I presented myself being a father or anything like that, I could see the little changes that came about right after. Like, it was right after those words were said. But it wasn't just saying that I was a dad. It was more or less my joy of being a dad. It was like, I'm a father. Yeah, I'm present. I, you know. And it was in that you could see, oh, shoot, he's a consistent or an ever-present or always there type of father. Not a one, oh, I had a kid and the mother takes care of him. That in and of itself is like, because if you think about the restaurant industry, it does take over your life. And in it taking over your life, if you don't give yourself to it 1,000% in the owner's eyes or the general manager's eyes or, you know, your boss's eyes, if you don't give yourself to it 100%, 1,000%, 10,000%, then they automatically assume you don't care. There's a lot of lines over the years where restaurants always come out, oh, we're family, we're this. And I've said that before in other podcasts. It's like, we're family, we're together. It's bullshit. Because if you have a family outside of it, and yes, while I consider my food and beverage employees and people that I'm with family, if I have a family outside of it, I need to take care of that. I'm not making one choice over the other. I'm handling situations depending on the different circumstances that I'm in. And there's a switch that happens, and it happens first in the interview process. If you're lucky enough to get hired, it then escalates in the job process, because the moment you start putting more or as much, not even more, as much effort into the life you have outside the business as you do to the life you have inside the business, if you give a balance, if you present a balance, if you have a balance, automatically you're looked at like, oh, you don't care. Because to them, your balance needs to be skewed in the side of the restaurant. And that's illogical. It's like, that's insane. But like I said, it starts in the way the questions are presented and the answers you give. So when I said that what you say can harm your chances, I'm more or less, it's not on what you answer the questions that can harm your chances. It's on what the information that you give them are or is. You're telling people, hey, I have a kid. I'm not applying for a cashier position. I'm applying for a supervisor manager position. But I have a kid and I'm going to be responsible and be there for my kid. The restaurant industry doesn't give a shit. It really doesn't. If you're not ever present for the restaurant, then screw you. You can go. Like, and I've seen that plenty of times. When parents have emergencies or when parents have to call out or when a kid is sick or when a school situation, you got to leave early. When these kind of things happen, is like that becomes a demerit against the employee. That becomes something where the employee is now looked at less. And if you're in a manager position and you have to take care of responsibilities outside the restaurant when you are, in their eyes, supposed to be focusing only on the restaurant, it's a death sentence. It's like putting the last nail in the coffin. They don't care. It's a misbelief that they actually do care from the beginning. And the fact that we think that as employees is just wrong. You know, but we're human. Sometimes we want to make it, in our own minds, we want to believe that the people we work for care about us and our situations as much as we do. Because we care about the restaurants. Let's not lie to ourselves. Some employees, yes, they come in, they go out, boom, done. But a lot of us care at the nuances of what's going on, how well it's doing, what's positive, what's negative, what the reviews are, what are things. Yeah, a lot of employees care about that shit. They honestly think about that and it makes them go on with their life and their day and the things they do. And it's like, they actually think about the restaurant on that scale. But it becomes, when the restaurant doesn't show that same kind of appreciation and care for the employees that they have, it's like, what's the point of us caring? And it's becoming an industry norm not to really give a shit about the place that you work for because of the fact that they don't give a shit about you to the same scale. If I care about the goals of the restaurant, then that represents the restaurant caring about what's happening to me in my life and understanding that sometimes I can't be 100% present here when there are things that are happening outside. But it's not always looked at that way. And that's where it comes back to the interview process. Nobody wants honesty. It isn't about how you answer honestly. It's about how you present yourself for that moment. An honest answer means nothing. An honest answer actually loses you a job. A dishonest answer has more likelihood for you to make a job. Because once you're hired and they started training you, and you've done everything, and now you add changes, it's very hard for a restaurant to be like, oh man, we've already trained you, get rid of them. Yes, it's easy sometimes to get rid of employees, because restaurants doing quite a bit, but when they've trained them, they put in the work towards somebody, it's very difficult for them to want to just expel that person without trying to do something, because it becomes a waste of money and time for them. So, you know, the interview process in the restaurant industry is a lie. The questions that are being asked are a lie, and the answers that are being given are a lie, because if anyone tells the truth in any one of these situations, then overall, we wouldn't be in any of the situations that we're in. Like, this is hair ripping out moments. it should be more truthful for the conversation to occur, for each side to understand what they're getting into. Because if there were more honesty in the way that each side was presenting itself, then the job that would be required for each side to accomplish would be easier to accomplish, because no one is coming in with a misunderstanding of what's about to happen. But one side feels that they have to lie so they can get the job, and the other side feels that they have to lie so they can get the employee. And strange enough, that becomes a balance, because both sides are lying to each other. So there is no truth in it overall. It's how the interview process and how everything works. You know, the food and beverage industry, the quick service industry, the fast food industry, the fast casual industry, the fine dining industry, however you want to label it, is a great industry in its growth potential, but it's a horrible industry in its ability to tell the people that work for it what's actually happening and how best to assist them. There's a lot of moments where people don't give a crap about each other. And if you care too much, there's a lot of moments where you don't have a job. Like, I've lost a job because I wouldn't be, as my boss put it at the time, I wouldn't act like more of an asshole to my employees. And because I wouldn't act like more of an asshole to my employees, I no longer had a job. Like, that's a hard thing to take. Like, to be told you need to be more of an ass to them because you're not being enough of one. But yet, my sales are good. There aren't a ton of call-outs to my employees. I have a good staff. Everything's going well. We just rebuilt this whole kitchen staff. So we have a good focused team. So why do I need to be more of an ass if things are going well? Well, that's just what we want. You need to be more of an asshole because that's how it's going to get across, and that's how this place is going to run even better from where it is right now. Huh? But it's running well. If you want us to run better, yeah, I understand that, but I don't understand how being what in my definition was a bad person would help that. And it doesn't, and it didn't. And I was let go. And that's where, you know, aggravation starts to build up, because when you get hired as a manager, you're trusting that the people above you are putting you in a position to succeed. You're trusting that the things that you answered in the interview, because A, I was a lot more honest in my answers to interview than probably a lot of other people. I was a lot more straightforward in how I presented it. But, you know, you trust that the other side is giving you as much honesty as you're giving them, which I've come to find out is never the case. You're giving always a lot more honesty than the other side is giving you. 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. And, you know, it becomes aggravating. This industry can be so good in its promise work for what comes next, but it can be so bad in the way it tries to change the people at their core to adapt to being more systematically assholes. Because if you aren't one, you're not going to keep a position for long. Because that's what they want. Because a lot of the people in higher positions are assholes, so they want more people like them because it's easier to manage. And that's why the interview generic questions is more or less to see who fits into what they want versus what they need. You want a lot more yes men, because it's easier to control people who are so willing to always say, oh yes, that's the right thing, oh yeah, uh-huh. You want a lot less people who are gonna be like, no, that's bullshit, if we do that it's not looking good, I'm not just doing that just because. you know, yeah, you have to go along with a lot of things, but at the same time, there are some things you need to fight for. And as I told a district manager of mine once, when he asked me, is this the kind of manager you want to be? As I told him, yeah, this is exactly the kind of manager I want to be. Where there are moments where I do not agree with you and I will let you know. And if you can't handle that, then that's not on me, that's on you. Because there's going to be moments of disagreement and there's going to be moments where things aren't, you know, lining up in the same way. But it's the ability to get past those moments and find a way to get to a point where everybody can agree that's better than just me blindly going after everything you say. It doesn't work at all if all I am is a yes man. Because then when things go wrong, then what? You're going to blame me because I'm the yes man. So if you're going to blame me either way, I'd rather do things knowing that I'm trying my best to accomplish what's best versus doing things just because I want to say yes to everything you want me to do. No. So, you know, this has been my take on the interview process and then getting hired. And, well, that's another thing. Hiring. Oh, sorry. I got detoured. I forgot my last part. I had notes this time. I usually go off the cuff and just let it run, but I had notes. Hiring. Anybody who's listening, who's worked in food and beverage, and who still doesn't know this, and anyone who's listening who's never worked in food and beverage, if you're hired, you're hired. If you're not hired, you'll never know. You'll never know. Every restaurant has one point or another has said, I'll call you if whether or not I want you or not. No, they won't. No, they won't. If you're not hired, trust me. If you're hired for a restaurant job, usually you get hired right on the spot. If you're not hired right then and there, or you aren't emailed right after or something, then 100% believe you didn't get hired. Stop allowing yourself to linger on the thought, oh, maybe they're going to call me back, it went well. No. In the restaurant industry, on your interview, if you did not get told, okay, come back, we're hiring you, or okay, I'll call you with the day so you can start, or okay, come and do paperwork tomorrow, something along those lines, you didn't get hired at all. And I hate to say it, but sorry, you weren't going to. As soon as they stop the interview and it goes to, thanks for coming, it was lovely meeting you, we'll let you know you didn't get hired. We will let you know is not the same as we will let you know in a lot of other industries. In a lot of other industries, when they don't want you, they will email you and tell you, no, thank you, we appreciate it. In the food and beverage industry, when they don't want you, it's, we'll let you know. That's it. And if you're hired, it'll be right then and there going like, hey, come back, fill out the paperwork the next day. Get that? I feel like people need to know that because I've done it myself where I linger on the thought, oh, that was a great interview. They'll probably call me back. They don't. The reason is because they didn't hire you on the spot. They're not going to hire you at all. So it leaves you, you know, in Schitt's Creek thinking, up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. It leaves you thinking, oh, there's more to this than there actually is. And there isn't. There isn't. If you didn't get hired right away, you weren't going to get hired. It's just the way it is. Yeah, okay, so that was my closing thought. I had notes, so I had to finish that off with the notes. I had to close that out. I don't know. These were intro. The first couple have been intro podcasts, and I appreciate anybody who's listened all the way through to all of them, anyone who's really taken on the time to, you know, stick around. I don't know. I'm going to have more notes. A. That's A. So I can break down these rants and conversations that I'm having into a better digestible podcast. I'm learning, so I'm adapting and I'm making changes as they come in. And I'll be going forward and doing more in the next one. Thanks, Bella. That's my cat. I do this in the office and the cat's food is in here. Oh, yay. That's a behind the scenes of the podcast life. Yay. I appreciate anybody who stuck around, and I look forward to seeing you guys listen to me on the next one. Bye.